Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Israel remains on high defensive alert as operations continue against Iran and regional proxies. Now on its 27th day, the war has sharply divided opinion on its current status and consequence. For some, it's a bold, brilliant, and targeted campaign aimed to neutralize an existential threat and bring change to the Middle East. Others see it as a serious miscalculation with economic consequences for the world, and one commentator said, the beginning of the end as of the USA as a superpower. There is no better person to explain what is actually happening than my guest now, retired Lieutenant Colonel Orr Horvitz. Lieutenant Colonel is head of the American program at the Jewish People Policy Institute. He is a strategic leader with over 17 years of experience at the intersection of U.S. foreign policy, U.S.-Israel relations, intelligence, and security. He's also worked in the Israeli Defense Force Intelligence and was senior advisor to the director of the Israeli Defense Force Intelligence, where he centrally was involved in post-October the 7th transformation processes and Israel's campaigns against Hezbollah and Iran. I'm delighted to have you, Lieutenant Colonel, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, and good afternoon, South Africa.
Can we start off with, we're now 27 days into the conflict. Many expected it to be over by Pesach. Was this an unrealistic expectation?
Well, it really depends what are the objectives are. I think that if we are pursuing objective in which we want to make this regime tumble, it might take some time. But I think that both Israel and the U.S. gave up, at least for the short term, on this objective. But if we want to conquer our other objective, which means to dismantle the nuclear threat and also to dismantle the ballistic missile threat, we might need more time. But we need to take into account that it appears that President Trump has more and more limitations. So I think we had a crossroad during this weekend between a ceasefire that might happen in the upcoming days, and I think a continuation of the war and perhaps even a ground maneuver by the U.S. I think both of them, those options on the extreme side becoming more and more probable.
General Colonel, Israel and America have different goals for this war. To what extent are you working alongside, and to what extent are you entirely dependent on what America says?
Well, I think it's both of those countries, and I've served for over 17 years on this crossroad of intelligence between those two countries. It's not just that the Israelis relied on the U.S. It also goes vice versa. Our intelligence and the security apparatus is entirely intertwined. So let's say, for example, that we are targeting targets in Tehran. We might use American intelligence and vice versa. We might target targets that enable the U.S. in their efforts to open the Hormuz Strait. So I think this correlation, this symbiotic relation are amazing. And I wish that more and more voices from the public would have known how intimacy and how important and how vital those relations are for both of these countries, not just for Israel.
So I understand also that this is not Israel's war, it's America's war. You're working very closely together, but perhaps the objectives are different. And to what extent is Israel reliant on a decision by America to go for a ceasefire where, say, for example, Israel feels that they'd rather finish what needs to be done?
Well, I think that none of us have disagreement regarding the nuclear program. All of us understand that this program needs to be dismantled, not out of Israeli interest, because if we'll have Iran or Iran on the threshold of nuclear capability, I think that the entire region and the global area will be much more dangerous. We've seen Iran behavior during the past 3 or 4 weeks. It's amazing, deliberately aiming towards civilians, not just in Israel, but in the entire Gulf states and in Turkey, Azerbaijan, Cyprus. It's amazing. And we've seen their behavior. So I think everyone understands that they can have nuclear weapon. Regarding the ballistic missile, I think this is also a threat that became evident not just for Israel, but for the Gulf as well. And I remind you that the Iranian fired 4 days ago to Diego Garcia Island with the missile being capable to fire 4,000 kilometers up until Berlin, Madrid, Paris. So I think both the U.S. and Israel understand that these threats need to be dismantled. There might be minor disagreement on how to do it. So I think that's the major question. It seems like Israel do want to have more time in order to deepen the effect on the production within the Iranian, and that Trump is more sensitive towards the economic implications. So I think that might be the nuance of difference, but I think that this administration and the Israeli government are correlated during understanding the threat and the need to be of it to be removed.
So what we're hearing perhaps in pro-Israel circles is the need to, as you say, dismantle the threat, but also to kind of, and I use this in inverted commas, finish the job. Because if you don't finish the job now, you're going to have to do it. You're just delaying it for 5, 6 years. Whereas for America, perhaps objectives are different. I mean, how does Israel feel about that? And what does it mean, finish the job?
Well, I think that there is a major debate both in the US and in Israel regarding the need to topple this regime. Because if this regime will stay in power, the instinct of it will not change. The way it threatens its ally, the region in entirety, the US, Europe, other countries. So I think this instinct will remain. And that's why there are major voices in Israel and in the US that says, well, this is our war now to topple this regime. By the way, I'm hearing much of these voices in Saudi Arabia and in the UAE, which is very interesting because I think they've seen firsthand the direct threat being posed by Iran. On the other side, we need to acknowledge the fact that regime are not being toppled instantly. And this, it is very hard to predict where exactly or when exactly it will happen. I also believe and assess that during war, it is extremely hard for this regime to be toppled. So I think, in my perspective, there is no other way but to reach to a ceasefire that will have major limitations on Iran nuclear and ballistic missile aspiration, and then use the weakening regime that we are seeing now to build strategy that will be able to this regime to be toppled in the near future. I believe it's possible. I don't think that this regime can last for years.
Do you think that, I mean, just the ethics of regime change? Firstly, do you think, was there a miscalculation and the belief that the regime would be toppled already? And what is the ethics and law around regime change? I mean, do foreign countries have a right to demand regime change in other countries?
Well, that's a major question, and I'm not sure that I have the right answer for that. But I think that we need to understand the fact that Iran is behind many of the destabilization forces in the region and in global realm. They try to assassinate President Trump and other officials on US soil. As we speak, Iran continue working in the UK, in Europe, in order to conduct terror attacks against Jews and Israelis. They are harassing their neighbors. They are targeting deliberately civilians. We know that for sure in Israel and in other countries. So I think they pose such a severe threat that the only alternative is to try and pursue a different regime without looking necessarily on the legality, because this is a direct threat on the world. I truly believe that. Now there is the question of practicality, whether it's possible. And I think that we need to be realist and understand that it is extremely hard to topple this regime through military means only. Iran is a large state. They have 85 million people. Around 15% of the population supports this regime. The security apparatus, the military junta is very harsh, is very working together nowadays with a very radical views. So it is hard. Still, I think that the basis of this regime it is something that we need to work in order to build an alternative. And I believe this is what the Iranian wants, and every poll that we are conducting in our intelligence agency says the same things. About 80-90% of the people want this regime to be toppled. They're just scared for their lives, and I can understand that.
I can understand that too. In terms of the morning after, what is, firstly, does Israel and America have the same vision for the morning after? And is there a plan, or is the plan just to, like, post October the 7th, just like, deal with the situation and then worry about the morning after later?
So there's a major question regarding the day after. I don't see any differences of opinion regarding the nuclear capability. There are some people who argue that unless you are taking out the approximately 450 kilo of enriched uranium that are in Iran, you haven't concluded the problem of the nuclear aspirations, because you can't target it from the air. It's just becoming a mine for enriched uranium. So perhaps that would be a difference. Some people might say, well, we'll need to reach a ceasefire now in order for the economy to recover, and let's deal with that later. So that's a major conundrum. The other potential disagreement is regarding the ballistic missile capabilities of Iran. The US might agree. I'm hoping it won't agree, but it might agree for Iran to have a stockpile of 1,000 ballistic missiles under the condition that they won't reach the US soil. And they won't build ballistic missiles that they will allow them to reach US soil. Israel will not agree to that, of course. I believe in the end that the disagreement on that we are seeing on the public and on the media does not necessarily reflect the true nature of the discussions between Israel and the US. I think that the differences are much more limited than people perceive, and that we are caught in some sort of political debacle. And this is what we see, not necessarily true differences of opinion.
Let's talk a little bit about you talked about the regions and the regions helping possibly behind the scenes as well. Many people are saying this is World War III, and many are saying this is the exact opposite of World War III because so many countries have not gotten involved. What are your thoughts?
I don't think that we are in World War III. First of all, Russia is not engaging directly in this confrontation. There are some info that we're seeing on the news that it might assist with drones, etc. But in the end, it is weak under because of the war in Ukraine, and it doesn't want to confront in a direct clash both with the US but also with Israel. I think President Putin himself said it many times. China has its own interests. It might use it for the great power competition with the US, but again, we are not seeing it engage directly in Iran. No one want to engage in a war with the US because for Iran. So I think that we are not there yet, and there are many reasons to believe that this will not be dragged into World War III. I think that the main danger is that this war will last without reaching a ceasefire because the Iranian demands and the US demands won't meet. So that perhaps the major danger that I'm seeing in the upcoming future.
So what happens then, and what are the indications at the moment?
So it seems like Iran is taking a bold stand right now, and in their perception, they are not losing. It's really interesting because the Iranian had a concept of destroying or annihilating Israel, building operative plan to conduct it, seeing Israel at its weakest point during the judicial reform debate that we had in Israel. Now they are no longer there. All they want to do is not to lose. And if you don't want to lose, it is much easier. And you can declare victory in almost any instance that you are still alive. And this is what we are seeing now with Iran. So I think that they do not perceive themselves as loser. And that's why they are demanding compensation, ownership de facto in Strait of Hormuz. And I don't see a way that Trump will agree to that. So that's the major question, whether those sides might reach to a ceasefire. I think that the last 48 hours showed us that it is becoming increasingly difficult to have a ceasefire in the upcoming days. But you never know because Trump has many, many limitations at home because of the gas prices, etc.
So let's talk about what would happen if there was a ceasefire. What would it mean for Israel?
So first, I think that we reduced quite dramatically the threat being posed by ballistic missiles, by Iranian ballistic missiles, not just because we took down many of their ballistic missiles, but also their production capabilities. So I think this will be very important because the major threat of, imagine yourself that Iran had 10,000 ballistic missiles aimed towards Israel. This was their operative objective. I think that the consequences in Israel were severe. I don't want to say it was an existential threat, but it was something very close to that. So we don't have it anymore. We have aerial superiority in Iran. In case we'll see an imminent threat from Iran, whether related to the nuclear threat or to the ballistic missile, we will be able to operate in Iran, knowing that the consequences or the result will not be that severe. So I think both of those trends are extremely, extremely important. And perhaps more important than all is the fact that Israel will no longer sit aside while our enemies will build themselves to death trying to build plans to kill us. It's not a cliche. We learned our lesson in the hard way. We allowed Hezbollah to build approximately 5,000 troops up until 6 kilometers from the border, ready at hour's notice to penetrate towards Israeli territory and kill our people and penetrate villages and kibbutzes. Exactly like October 7. So I think we learned our lesson. Now Iran understand that we will not sit silent as they build their military means to kill us.
So, I mean, there's so many questions, and I only have 4 minutes left, and I'm struggling to know which one to prioritize. But let's talk about Hezbollah, because Israel is sending troops to Lebanon, and it can't be an easy, light decision. And also, what is the end game there, and how do you see that playing out?
So I think, and it is extremely hard for Israelis to understand that as rockets and drones are being fired towards us. But Hezbollah is a different character, a different organization than what it used to be on October 6. He have a fraction of the military capabilities. He have a weakening Iran. Without Iran, it is much different organization. He doesn't have Syria. The current president is not a Zionist, but he hates Hezbollah more than he hates Israel. Their stand in the political society this, in the Lebanon as a whole is weakened, and more Shiites see Hezbollah as a burden rather than as an asset. So I think all in all, the strategic perspective of Hezbollah is at its lowest point historically, and now we need to use that. Of course, we need to move forward with our military means to weaken it further, but we have to build upon the military objectives and have political a security strategy that will allow us to, in the end, to dismantle Hezbollah from the heavy equipment that he have and that can project power against us. I think that for the first time in decades, it's possible because of the lowest strategic point that Hezbollah is at.
Sure. Talk about troops on the ground. Do you think that that is a possibility with regard to Iran?
Yes, I think that there is a real possibility for the US to conduct a ground operation, especially on one of the islands that is directly to the oil industry that Iran has. It will serve both as a military mean to pressure Iran, but also as a strategic asset against Iran. And of course, President Trump like oil, so you never know what will happen. But I think this is a genuine and real, real possibility that we need to take into account. And I'm hoping that the Iranian are taking it into account in case the ceasefire, in case they will stop offering those bold demands against the US. I believe I'm hoping that they will come to term with his demands.
What do you think is going to happen in the next few days? What can we expect? Last question.
Well, first, I think we'll broaden our ground maneuver in Lebanon in order to bring the threat against the villages and kibbutzes on the north to near zero. I'm not talking about rocket launchers. We will always have these, but the ground operation penetration towards Israel, anti-tank, other capabilities, snipers, etc. So to limit it to zero. And this will also serve as a strategic asset. No Lebanese will come to this area unless Hezbollah will be dismantled. And I remind everyone that Hezbollah is using directly the Shiite population in order to conduct military operation against Israel. This is a fact. Regarding Iran, I think that we are nearing a crossword. I think in the upcoming days, we will see whether the US will escalate its offensive against Iran or reach a ceasefire. I think that we are closer than ever to this decision.
Sure.
Israel will keep conducting operation, military offense in Iran until the war will stop, hoping we'll get inflict as much damage as possible on their military capabilities.
We have to leave it there. I would like to have you again because we haven't even begun to touch all the questions I have to ask you. But please also know that we are thinking of you, our brothers and sisters in Israel. We know that you are running up and down into bomb shelters, that there's huge destruction. And indeed, we think about all those who are innocent people in the region who are caught up in this war. Thank you so much for joining me. That was retired Lieutenant Colonel Or Horvitz, and we were talking about the Middle East, or the Iran-US conflict.